all over. It keeps on good.
Who's speaking?
I'm supposed to be speaking, but I'm
Rashida. And
Rashida, I got the name out, but I'm gonna go to the board first, and then I go into those first.
I'm trying to help.
No. May I try
to
understand this? When you said before that you were a minority on the board,
politically.
Okay, but in a sense, I'm a minority on the board. I'm African born, I'm Muslim woman. And right now, these three things are not so great. And I've been attacked primarily by white women within the Pacifica family specifically. I have had a white woman get up and say, in my presence, it would not disturb her if the board was all white. I mean, I have labored under two political points. One is that I come politically from a Pan-African background, having been a young pioneer, brought up in an Nkrumahist household.
Teach.
I grew up right after, I was actually born during colonialism. So the racism that you have here, I can tell you, your parents taught me. So it's very little that you can teach me here. I mean, you all can learn. I don't mean it in that arrogant way. In Europe, which in Europe and in the Caribbean and in South America, you are better because you have a drop of white blood. In the United States, you are not worthy because you have one drop of black blood. So this notion of people of color then was not something that was embraced by Asians, and that includes Chinese, Indians, etc. I'm talking about people from Sri Lanka that I met in Europe when I was in school, who were as dark as I and told me that they were Caucasian, or no, they were Aryan, and denied that they but meanwhile they were being kicked about worse than I was. Why? Because of a class situation. Because my class didn't allow certain people to be in my sphere. So I know what it's like to fight for one's rights. I know what it's like to fight as a woman in a male-dominated society. I know what it's like to fight against cultural constraints. I had to fight for my education against my father and other people. I know what that's like. I had to come here and work as and be on a student visa and work and have my professor's wife, who didn't have a high school education, tell me to clean her toilet. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to be babysitting. I know all the ways in which people try to, quote, put you in your place. I understand all that. But Miguel, when I see you, I don't see a division as you may see. I just see another person of African descent as I see Ray, another person of African descent, but having a different kind of cultural experience.
I'm sorry, but that is not a discussion.
No.
Please. Somebody's
no,
of African descent. No. Is what political
no,
position
I'm,
you have.
Excuse me, you didn't interrupt anybody else, so don't interrupt.
Yeah, but since you named me specifically.
Okay, but I'm just saying, I just wanted to include you only because the point that Errol had made before about him asking you and him asking Miguel, and that you said, both of you said, in your cultures, you would not consider black. That's the only reason I mentioned that. So, but I am speaking specifically to Miguel. When I speak to you, or when I interact with you, I interact with you as another part of that African diaspora that had a different experience, a Spanish-speaking experience, whatever that meant. I don't see you as some outsider, and I embrace you in that way as a brother. When I have political differences with you, It's because I have some specific ideas about what it means to be progressive. And that doesn't mean that you don't have it. I'm just saying I have specific ideas about what it means to be progressive. To me, a progressive person works on two fronts. Works politically on him or herself and works at the same time on the society. Both of which you try to change to make society better. And you try to make society better by making it inclusive, broad, and humane. And you don't get that way. You don't get that way by restricting. You don't get that way by negatively reinforcing stereotypic ideas. You don't get there that way. I have had many people who speak Spanish, who call themselves Spanish. From my background, no African person would call themselves a Spaniard. Because you just have to go to Fernando Po and you see what the Spaniards did and you see what they continue to do. You just have to go to Curacao and read the history. When Columbus is leaving the island, he leaves with 50 people. Those were native people that he decimated. He goes off with 50 people. That's your prerogative. I don't tell anybody how to call themselves. For me, when I see you, I see an African. I see a person of African descent. I respect you as a part of my family, and I respect you for whatever political work you do. If I have something to say, Miguel, I say it to you. I don't go behind your back and say it. So when you make a broad statement that people at this board have said this or have said that, I don't know if you're talking about me. I say you're not talking about me because I haven't said anything behind your back that I haven't said to your face. If you hear something that someone attributed to me, you have my phone number, call me and ask me if you can't come and see me. And I will tell you whether I said it or not. But this I agree with what Harold just said, that this inability of Euro-American to open up a dialogue and to be honest in that dialogue and to share, the inability of them to hear an African person really speaking to them. How come you're speaking to them? That stuff is deeply ingrained in this society, whether they're here 5 minutes or 500 years. That's very deeply ingrained in them. And so sometimes you hear things and you don't know why that person is talking to you. You're not accustomed to people even speaking like that. We have this very stereotypic idea about how, quote, black people speak. And this is very unhealthy. If we're going to become healthy, I think this kind of conversation, at first I was really cringing in my seat, but I think this kind of conversation might in the long run, I hope, be helpful. When you are having problems with the national board, I know that I voted for you and I was willing to go and do battle on your behalf. And I still am. And I find it really strange that you don't remember that we all supported you. And not only when you came back, we wanted to write a letter to the board, as I recall, on your behalf, questioning their decision. And in addition to that, and in fact, I think we did. And in addition to that, Marion took the chair on the basis, before you even went out to California, she said, I will accept being the chair if, for whatever reasons, you are going to not be here. But if you come back, I will step down. When you came back, the first time you came back, Miguel, Marion stood down. Now, and the board supported that. So I think that some of the things that have not been said, I would just like to say this one thing, and then I'm finished, is that the reason some people may feel that you have surrounded yourself with people who are not board members or who are not your supporters is because there is an ongoing dialogue that goes on in a very nasty way, mostly amongst people who are not on the board, and almost all of them are Euro-Americans. That is a fact. They do act in a very provocative way. And a lot of that is to cause dissension. And unfortunately, it does.
Mind reader.
And it causes dissension. We have to listen to people making derogatory remarks while we're speaking. We have to listen to all of that and still maintain a certain decorum.
We try
in the process. And we try in the process to support you. So I think I'm sorry, but it's not appropriate for people to make curse words. So could you please ask her to stop saying that I'm saying BS, and that's not what she's saying. Could you please ask her to stop that? This is not
polite.
I'm sorry.
Can you just
can't you hear her?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
I just want to make one clarification about what was said.
Okay.
Because to me,
right.
Essentially, though, we're still living with a political problem. Because he's not my brother because of his African ancestry, primarily. He's my brother because he's fighting to make the world, the way I want, a world for justice for every single human being on this earth. Brad is my brother because he's that person. And that Ras is not my sister. So if she came to me and said, "My name is Julia," I say, "Brother," I would say, "Man, you're not my brother. You're going to talk to Nixon."
But I'm not.
So the point I'm saying, I'm just speaking my. We see what you said, making what I think is an issue that we have to forget. So I'm not supporting Miguel because he has a common African ancestry with me. I'm supporting him because we have brothers in the struggle, and I think to me we cannot leave that out, because otherwise I will favor somebody else. Only on the basis because we would both be political brothers, but the other one would have
that
additional.
Why do you think I would want a black foot on my neck? If I throw off a white foot, why do you think I would want a black one?
No, I just felt that point was being made clearly enough.
I think we can't leave that.
Because hopefully we're all brothers and sisters in this room. Based on our own behavior and our aspiration.
Based on what we stand for, what we fight for. No, I said before, and I will say it again, you don't have to agree. You can't agree with my position or my feeling. You have to state how you feel.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay, yeah. but you're denying me my...
I was saying that I agree with you, but I saw some parts of it as being
and
a political question.
I said that Miguel and I are connected on two issues. I said it. I said I agree with him on a Pan-African, and I also look for the political. Those are issues that I do not compromise on. And so I don't see Miguel as this other. And I supported him based on his Pan-Africanism, if you understand what Pan-Africanism is, and also equally on what I thought were his political views and his activism. And I still support him on those bases. Where I will not support, I will not support him if I think on this issue he takes a position that I politically cannot agree with. I won't support that. It doesn't mean that I don't support all the other things. I was trying to be specific as to what it is I disagree with and what it is I don't. But I'm saying that when you make a broad statement and you say people around the table, I want to know who it is. I'm saying what I said, and I'm telling Miguel in front of everybody. If he wants to call me because he heard something that I said, he has my phone number, he can call me, or he can arrange to meet with me and we can discuss it. And we will talk about what it is that someone has said about him. I will say that to anybody in this room. I don't go behind people's back and talk about them. That is not
what I do. I'm going to we have a few people who asked to talk here. That's my Romulo, Joe, and Paul. So, but we're going to give a briefly, right?
I just want to...
But I really think we should stay with the diversity.
Okay, I thought somebody said behind you, and I said, my, I know you.
Yeah,
you,
he's been raising his hand.
But before you go, let me just clarify two things here that need to be clarified. The first one is, I think that I don't want to go deeply into who I identify myself. I'm an African person because my father was a black person, culturally speaking. I even talked to you at one point that the something that I inherited from my father that I intend to one day to do it. And I talked to you because I was kind of close to you.
Me, you speaking to me?
Right.
Yes,
right.
And I remember that.
So, but people gotta understand one thing here, that the fact that I know who I represent, I know my relationship with Ray and Tenno, we share an island, I know the whole history of an island,
mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, Ray and I have been talking before about the situation, which is a different situation in the Dominican Republic when it comes to Haiti, which is a difficult situation that some people sometimes don't understand. And I talked to Ray about how I feel about that. It was a stupid thing to do, but it doesn't mean that I have to be agree with Ray when it comes
exactly.
to some political issues that I don't
right.
share that. I respect yes. his position, but I think that people should understand that clear. And I think that when people take political position, at the same time, people apply some strategy and tactics to try to get that through. Sometimes some of those tactics may get out of control in the way that is applied. And then people somehow start giving that signal. I understand everything and I appreciate what the lab did. I had my problem a long time ago with the Pacific National Board. At some point, I have a hard time understanding, especially when I, after that, we went through the whole fight of Pacifica, and I share some of those things with you. Was political politics involved? Sometimes there were certain things that I couldn't understand why the hell they're doing this. And there's so many things that I probably never share with some people because it was too many things at the same time. But it doesn't mean that necessarily we had to be agreed on everything.
Right.
And I had some concern, to be honest with you. And I want to be honest with you because I think that I need to. My concern is in the way that the lab has taken their position and some members of the lab applying some tactics and strategy that made me feel really uncomfortable because I don't think that there's a need for that. So I understand when Anthony confront, and I had to say it. Look, when that thing happened in Washington, when Anthony talked to me, I don't need to do to take a stand for whatever the decision Leslie Kagan made, and I thought it was unfair to exclude the lab from that position. And that's why I went there and I said, you know, I think that our lab should be included, even when I was not agreeing with the constituency model. But I thought that we're supposed to be on that table. And I took that position. So I take position based what I think, politically speaking, and my political experience, and I've been involved for a long time here, and I just want to mention one thing here. When Nelson Mandela came here in 1990, the person who was in charge to get together the Puerto Ricans that David Dinkins called terrorists and the Nelson Mandela was me driving a union car who almost cost me my job to get that meeting done. So I take position based on what I need to do at that point politically. It doesn't mean that later on if I not agree with every and all those parties, I will defend my position because that's what I come from as an activist and as a person who being involved in this thing. I've been disturbed a little bit in the way that the duration of this fight is taken. And the reason for that is I'm close to some people and they are white. But I'm not close to them because they are white. I'm close to them because I share some of the political view they have.
That's fine.
And doesn't mean necessarily that, and I'm not telling you, I didn't even get email. People accusing me to be manipulated by this group or by that group. And at the same time, when people put me in that position, so I had to take a stand on that. And sometimes I keep it quiet, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to say it. And I share some of the thinking that Anthony put on the table. Yes, it's true. I know when the lab come is strong, but sometimes I question politically because people apply strategy to get their point across. You know, whatever that position is. I've been talking with Joe for a long time, for instance, about certain and his approach to certain of those issues. Before, way back, came to WBAI. So And I'm not opposed Joe for whatever reason, that whatever position he's taking, not is based on his skin or anything. It's just that I think that I should take a different position. Now, when it comes to be part of the ethnic group that I am part of, and the way that I, the approach that I take it, and I went directly to Dan Rojas and explained the situation. I said, look, I would love to work with you. Here's the situation that we have. I think that we need to bring some people in different capacity here. And I've been working with some Latino groups that are going to start showing. I said that before. I didn't through the lab because I don't feel comfortable that the lab would take a stand on that issue. And to me, it was not, I had to move it. I brought like about in this room about 45 organizations. We got together and we start something going. And I will keep that way. And I haven't, and even sometimes, most of the time, I don't even invite the people to come here to defend me because they, I don't need to do that. I told somebody, you should be part of Pacifica, and you can ask, Sylvia is here, the kind of discussion that we have in our group. So I want the people to understand me clear. I know who I am as an ethnic person. I know my background. But believe it or not, the position that I take most of the time are based on my political experience and my years of activism in this country that took me some time to figure it out how things work. So I want just to make that clear. Maybe that can bring more light into this discussion. Because I'm not taking a position based on who I am, take a political position here, and based in some conversation that I have with some people, and based in some certain thing that the people did. So that is,
point
that
of
is
information.
Clear to me. Okay. Who is next? We got here Mike, Romulo, Joe, and Paul, and they're going to be very quick, and then we're going back to the board. Sheila, sorry, and Sheila. Mike.
Okay, I'm glad. Sorry, Miguel brought it up, but I'm glad you did, because this is all about what diversity versus representation is all about. I grew up in the South Bronx. South Bronx, there were no Dominicans, no Cubanos, there were Puerto Ricans. I was called spick by the blacks and nigger by the Puerto Ricans when I was trying to get them together. So this is a very hot issue with me. It's all this cost me out of life, trying to get blacks and Latinos, Puerto Ricans in the South Bronx together to fight the Italians and the people who were in power. So when somebody comes to me that's not even from this country, okay? I'm sorry, you're Jamaican, brother, okay? But when people come from out offshore, whether Africa, Caribbean, or the diaspora, and tell me about my country and my relationships without my Latino, it wasn't Latino, baby. It was Spanish. Latino is a form of saying you're black as opposed to Hispanic or Spanish speaking. Chicano is a political term chosen by the Mexicans to understand their indigenous roots. Black is a term that's cultural, not skin color. I was a Negro before I was black. I was colored before I was black. I had to go through training to realize my background before I understood, oh, I'm black. It took me a while. I was raised as a Negro, as colored. I had to get to the grip with my experience as a slave with my relatives and be proud of them through slavery and how to get out of it before I could become black. And to this day, there are a lot of people with dark skins walking around who are not black. And we saw some on the board. And you see them on TV. There's two of them in the government right now. So it's not about black and skin color. Diversity is not about color. It's not about your gender. It's about what the hell you represent and what you stand for. I try to say this way back when, you keep getting hung up with this bullshit diversity. Who is supposed to be in this room so we can get a message out to the community? That's who's supposed to be in this room. Not people hacking, I took a college degree in Africa or in Harvard. No, somebody's been on a Four Corners University. And they come in and they got a message to blast out back to those Four Corners and get people activated so we don't have to go through the shit we're going through with this war movement.
Okay, 30 seconds.
Okay, so I say, I told Miguel twice to his face that she cut the shit out about Latino-black issue. But what his problem is his ego. He does not rep Latino. When we went up to down in the Dominican, he couldn't pull the Dominicans out. Okay, so I don't know who Latinos he's talking about. I see these 45 groups. I talk to Latinos and all kinds of people on the street. I want to see these leaders and their groups.
Okay.
But don't say it here. You got Jose Santiago, Howard Jordan. We can go down the list of the Latinos on here. I can't go down the list about Asians. All right? There are other people who are not included in this list. Latinos are full of shit. It's a bullshit issue. And let's cut it and get back to diversity representation.
Okay, Mike. my job.
Carol raised that he said a point of information. I think that that gets precedence over.
Yeah, Robert's rule.
Other people. So
I'll hold.
Paul.
Okay. First, just quickly to address this question of what is of the lab attitude and outside the lab attitude to the Latino community. And forgive personal references, but about 2 years ago I came to the lab. I was invited to make a presentation, and I spoke precisely about the fact that people of color were not being represented in this so-called democratization process. And I happened to single out at the time Latinos, and I mentioned how many millions of people, Latinos, are in New York City, and how that's not being reflected in this democratization process. And I remember that there was a certain group that came that was very hostile to that, very hostile. And over the months, I continued to hammer away at the fact that this so-called democratization of the Pacifica was being essentially controlled by a group that was totally unrepresentative of our listenership and of our community, even if they weren't listening, I felt we had an obligation to. And the fact is, constantly met with hostility by that group. When we talked about drawing up a model to ensure that every constituency would be present, including the Latino, because 50% people of color, as Sheila has mentioned, of course, with the Asian community, 50% people of color could exclude most of the communities of color. And so we wanted to put out something that would ensure, for example, that Latinos would be represented. But what we found was, again, that same group hostile to that idea. When we talked about the economic prerequisites for the franchise, we mentioned poll tax and so on, who would it impact on the most would be poorer communities, and that meant in this city, the black and Latinos, and that you were essentially disenfranchising largely Latino communities, met with tremendous hostility from that same group.
Now,
thing is, we are not, I'm not going to say you're being manipulated by that group, but when you find yourself politically in alliance with those very same groups that have been fighting from the beginning against diversity, it seems to me, and self-determination and genuine representation, and I think you should stop and say, hey, what's going on here? Where am I going wrong? I also want to recall certain facts about the lab's attitude toward the Latino community. AK has brought out some points, but I forgive personal, I brought Panama to a lab meeting. And when I left, next thing I know, the lab had contacted Panama and invited him to join the lab. Was it because he was a Puerto Rican? No, it was because he was a well-known Puerto Rican independence activist with a long, long record of activism and a reputation in his community. And he joined. Now, what happened next?
Okay, all right. He's Panamanian, but he has...
Oh, I'm sorry. But he's identified with the Puerto Rican...
Exactly. Very much. Very much.
Mother's Puerto Rican. His father's Panamanian, all right? That's what it is.
I'm just saying
Following that, I went to Washington Heights. I went to City College because I've had some previous political activism experience with a Dominican young man, a student leader, and asked him to join the lab. And he then was interviewed. And I want to mention that Marion Bornstein is one of the people taking a leading role in trying to get Latino members onto this board. And he was interviewed and accepted.
You talking about Mark?
Felipe.
Felipe. And he backed out. That was not the fault of the lab. But here is, again, is examples of where the lab has been trying to, to take positive steps. I would just, in closing, it's clear, Miguel, that people are turning, are so quote excluding you, especially in terms of the diversity committee, not because you're a Latino, but because you are completely out of step with the thinking of the vast majority of the land. And when they want somebody to represent the thinking of the New York lab, it's only natural that they should look for people who definitely represent that thinking. I just want to also and mention, you spoke about your past, and I knew and respected you years and years ago, tremendous respect. I knew you when you were the East Coast organizer for the great demonstration in Washington. Was it 500 years is enough? Was that the name of the...
Jericho.
It was a demonstration to say that communities of color have been oppressed for 500 years and they were still going to stand up and speak up about it. And yet, recently, I hear you say that we shouldn't be bringing up these things and playing to liberal or white guilt. I forget the exact words you said, but that's a different Miguel than the Miguel that I knew. And it's on that basis that people are turning away from you, not because you're Latina. It's because you're not genuinely representing the interest of peoples of color, as far as we can see, that you've turned away from it. And that's why it's so important, particularly on the diversity committee, to have people who will stand up strongly around this notion of genuine, authentic representation of peoples of color and other marginalized communities.
Okay. Paul.
Hi.
No, sorry, Romulus.
Tonight we have the Unity Caucus here in full strength, you know. When we see the Unity Caucus here in full strength, you know, something is going on.
I can't hear you.
The Unity Caucus is in full strength.
Speak up. No, speak in Spanish.
It's not well, special. The problem of the diversity, you know, the diversity thing is brought especially by the Unity Caucus. Unity Caucus who has divided really the listenership here. To talk to diversity when they are working really in other direction is just profane. You know? If we have seen a program director, Bernard White, scratch two only programs that were Latino programs, you know, in his rush to make the station more black than it is, there were two talk shows that not even Utriz touched when she was there, and Mr. White scratched them out in half a year. The programs were one by Santiago at 1 o'clock on Sundays, and the other by Mario Murillo on Friday 5 o'clock, and Mr. White eliminated them and never made any effort to replace them. Now the Latino people are going to have some programming, and it's the idea of the manager of the station, never of the program director. That is okay. That's
okay. Paul,
I'll be brief. Reason I'm here is a couple points. First, I want to just in comment on what's been said here. Mentioned that I thought we were all, ultimately all the people of the world, of African ancestry, all the way to science.
That is the biggest racist statement I've ever heard.
Every human being comes from Africa originally, on the face of the planet Earth. Follow that up by saying that it was disturbing after being removed from Let Him Talk after 10 years to hear the replacement program and make a statement about the word Jew coming from jewelry. And he has every right to make that statement, as ignorant as it was, but it was quite disturbing to see the lack of response from the management here at WBAI, and I kept an eye on that. And the third thing I wanted to bring up was that as the war is beginning, and we're on the verge of a war, it's my understanding there's going to be massive preemptions of programming. And it's my understanding that back at KPFA after September 11th, a couple of programmers took over quite a lot of airtime there, and that caused a lot of problems because then they didn't give the airtime back. But they didn't give it back in completion or for a long time. And some of those same programmers will be involved in national broadcasts here, and that'll be very unfortunate if we don't see the return of airtime, if we don't see the integration of other programmers in the war programming, and instead giving up all our airtime to a handful of people. And I think there's other issues that you all know even better than I do related to that, and you can all take up in your own time. And finally, I'd like to say this. My brother Miguel and I, you know, we're from the same neighborhood. We live a couple blocks away, and maybe we have not seen eye to eye recently on BAI and some other political issues. But I have to say that when I hear a Lower East Side brother being attacked the way that Miguel, it gets my back a little bristled, and I have to say I defend his right to have the opinions he does, and I think it's very wrong, some of the attacks that have been waged against him. They cross over into the area of bullying and anti-free speech, in my opinion. So I just like to say that, and again, just to make sure that people understand that to take away airtime and give it to a couple of programmers, hours of airtime, with no possibility of that airtime being returned to the programmers, to use that as a cover for any major programming changes would be a major mistake.
Sheila.
So the staff is doing that.
Just one comment. I spoke to, I think it was Mario Murillo's wife who made it get off air.
He also told me quickly that he was traveling more.
Yes,
that
he was working
on teaching,
his book.
He was, and right. That was not because he was removed.
My point is that never that program was replaced.
That's not true. What that's the plot that Howard replaced. Johnson is doing.
Howard Jordan. Let me finish. I want to say to Miguel and to you, sir, I'm sorry about your name, that I totally sympathize where you're coming from. I feel the same way as an Asian. That there is no representation of Asians on any Pacifica governing boards. The programming is like, you know, here where the population might be, what, 10% Asian, it's 1 hour out of 168 hours, that's one of 168. And, you know, there is racism in Pacifica. And you know it's there because you see people forming caucuses. See people forming collectives. We formed an East Asian radio collective to try and train more people and get them into the station because you have to take that extra step. People have to work together and fight to get representation in Pacifica. That is just how it is, right? So my feeling, okay, the way I see my role in the committee, the diversity committee, is to fight for maximum inclusion.
Okay.
And there's a split on that committee. Okay, there's some people who say take it slow, relax, mm-hmm. You know, don't get the government excited. We want to be as careful as we can to save Pacifica, to save this little thing that we have. And there's other people who are saying, listen, first of all, you don't have to be afraid. That's a false issue. It's a white herring. You don't have to worry about the government.
I love that.
Let's go for it. My goal is not just to have an Asian face here and there on these boards. My goal is to get Asian representation, Asian programming, something real goals, and real things happening. I mean, I'm in correspondence with Rafael Renteria out in the coast, who's like really hated by some of these people on the conservative side of this committee. They really hate him. And Rafael is saying, look, Los Angeles is over 50% Latino. There's only 3 hours of Spanish language programming on the station. I mean, what is this? Why not 50%? Why not half? Why not, you know, half time?
Let him try.
Right? Why not half the time? You know, I'm fighting because and Ray stood up for this issue when Valerie Minnesota got up at the national board meeting, and she said, DFW is 100% diverse. It's all African American. He said, wait a minute, that's not diversity. Okay? What I'm against is kind of like a token diversity, where you say, okay, well, we got enough people, POCs. We have enough POCs, and who cares? That's okay. So, like, on the committee, let me tell you what's going on there. On the last meeting that we had, a white woman from San Francisco, Susan DeSilva, says, well, you know, I don't think we should really be too concerned. We don't have to get all these groups in, do we? And I said, wait a minute, what about Asians? You in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, Berkeley, where the population is 20 to 30% Asian, you've had two elections so far, two elections, and not one Asian on the board. She said, right? Okay, so the point is, we want inclusion of everybody, and it doesn't, it's not a numbers game, it isn't. I mean, you could say, well, down in Washington, D.C., oh, there's not that many Asians, there's not that many Latinos, there's not that many Native Americans, who needs them? That's not, you need those people. You need it. You need inclusion here to get a real understanding. And the people, the physical people have to be there. The physical programs have to be there. And that's what the split is. Okay, that's the way I think. That's why I want to be on that committee. But you know, my husband's going to say that, and I'm going to say no. No. Another woman from Texas says, well, you know, this stuff about following demographics and they should be on the committees and they should have programs. Well, I don't know about that because, you know, down here there's like 25% Vietnamese. And you know those Vietnamese, they were put here by the government. They're really conservative. And I said, wait a minute. I said, that's racist. You're from Texas. You're from Bushland. You don't seem very concerned about the Bushites down there or the white people. I mean, aren't white people conservative? And you're not saying we shouldn't have white people. I mean, come on. But she doesn't I'm not saying this is a bad person, but she's just a little ignorant. There's a great need in Pacifica for anti-racism training. Mm. There needs it. We need it now, we need it tomorrow, we need it the day after. Because we're not all on the same page. And in the meantime, people are, you know, fighting back and forth and back and forth. I mean, I'm not trying to exclude Latinos. I want some real changes in Pacifica. I want real inclusion. That's what I want.
Perhaps it's the program director is the problem.
I just want to say that 7 years ago when I came to the WBAI lab, there were probably at the time seven people on the board who attended meetings and who are regularly active. And when I was recruited to take over the membership committee, we move forward on thanking those people, some of whom had served two or three terms and really attended meetings, to thank these people for serving, and then actively went to find board members who met the progressive orientation of those seven people on the board who were active and regularly attended, or not all of them, some of them. Yeah. And I have to say, we tried very hard to put into practice what our philosophy was, and that was to create what I consider is a magnificently diverse board. And the folks on that committee were Frieder and Gail and other people, Marion and Miguel, attended some of those meetings. I reached out. I think the first couple of times the application appeared in the folio, the last two issues, and some people responded to that. When there was no more folio, it was really word of mouth. And I have to say, of all of the people who are here, I think we sought them out specifically because their experience of struggle and their progressive politics, in addition to having whatever ethnic and racial and disability minority. I have to say this is one of the few boards that I'm on that is not specifically part of a disability organization. That this board, this foundation, this LAB made a point of including people with disabilities in a society that excludes us totally. Our infrastructure, our society is built to exclude us, that one step. In fact, my own personal life experience, I spent 14 years of my life warehoused in an institution because back in the 40s and 50s, people with disabilities were not supposed to be part of society. Society was not organized to include us. And our struggle has been to force government, using its public monies, to create an integrated, physically integrated, whether it's housing, transportation, schools, jobs, and that is the struggle. I'm very aware of the privileges I have had as a white person, irregardless of the disability, the class, the gender. But I'm also aware that the struggle had to be to bring the Latino and Black disabled folks into that struggle, and so that all of us could be part of society. We were supposed to be individual, out of sight, invisible rather, out of sight and out of mind. And that is our struggle. And this was a place where we were accommodated and accepted, even had programming, and now we have programming once again. So it is a struggle, and it's an ongoing struggle. And I feel that my struggle is very similar to the struggles of many people in this room.
Sylvia. And after that, we're going to Dominique, and then we're going to see the time, and then get some confusion where we're going back.
Still on the...
I'm sorry if it's not to the main point that you are discussing tonight. I'm not sure what's the point because I came late. But we feel disturbed that the two people that are not Latinos can say that Miguel doesn't represent the Latino communities. If that is not racism, I wonder what racism is about. How can you disrespect somebody and talk in name of the Latino community when you don't work with the Latino community in any way? So it, in any form, like or other than to exchange some ideas with people. We have been working with 45 different groups from Bushwick to the Bronx with different people, and Miguel is not perfect. I'm not here to say, well, Miguel is this wonderful person. He has weaknesses, but the point to say that he doesn't represent the Latino community is it's really disturbing to hear Michael there or Joe K there talking about that. You can attack Miguel, or you can express your criticism of Miguel using other arguments, but please don't say that he doesn't represent the Latino community.
Or doesn't, it has
moved away from some Latino issues, whatever. I'm not saying here that Miguel is perfect. Yes. I am repeating that again, but I know because I have worked with him, and I can tell you that there are like many organizations that are trying to organize around DAI, and to hear that, and if we are trying to get new people around these communities to have them working their unions, to get some kind of support, to get the union people to support BAI, work with us, help us to develop some Latino programs at BAI.
Okay.
And that's a bad message. It's highly disturbing to me. And I think that if those people come to this meeting, they are not going to understand anything.
Errol.
Hey, by the way, I found the passage on the listing if you want to hear it. You know, I think for a change, I may, if I was sleeping or missed a few meetings, that what we hear, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this board and this room supports the concept of diversity. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm also hearing from Miguel that he doesn't necessarily... I don't want to say outright, but he does not support diversity on the basis of a Latino identity, but in the basis of one's political belief. And I may be hearing the same thing from Ray, that his his stance is not one that is like mine, that first and foremost is based on the commonality of my African ancestry and understanding racism within the United States. And that's my mindset, where I can, given the historical trend in America, first and foremost knows that race lies at the bedrock of all decisions that are made in this country. Political subdivision and ideology plays out later on, but at the basis of it, there is a racial component. That these guys, politics, so political diversity, people of the same mindedness, is something that they want. Okay? I think we are at a stage where we can find a means to work this out that will fulfill, I think, all the requirements that we have on this board. And I don't know exactly how. If we're going to ask for Latino representation, linguistic representation, ethnic representation, or whatever. But I think we can work it out. Teresa Hallin in L.A. said that she ran this stuff by a lawyer, and the model that seems to fulfill the Bakke and the diversity question and the race and the quota question was the constituency model, which everyone shied away from. That came the closest to fulfilling the requirements to get around.
Harold, I think you're wrong. What you said.
That's not true. Well, that's what I heard.
No,
and
we're talking about the committee of inclusion.
And we can visit.
Don't worry.
We
won't have the constituency model.
Right.
So
we can
down.
Visit the.
We won't be public, you know.
Yeah, we can visit. We can visit the record.
I mean, yes,
but in any case,
where and when we
in any case, when it is all said and done, we want to come out of this process with a board that looks like this room or looks like the city, a board
right. That
understand the role of race, racism, xenophobia, chauvinism,
and class.
I was gonna say the capitalistic males tendencies that have dominated this country that have excluded other people.
How about abuse of power? Is that included too?
So now, how do we move forward from here? Is the next question.
So we have some practical tasks to take a look at.
We just got two more people here, and then we're going to address together the conclusion of this, what we're going to make. Dominic, and then Panama.
Yeah. I'm going to be very brief. This is not the first time the work of the lab has been impeded because of Miguel's complaint about how he perceived that the people are against him. But I think enough has done here today to lay to rest your fear, Miguel, and I think it's been clear, it's been said very beautifully by several people. I think that I'm wondering now if it's purposeful to stop the work on diversity. I think we should move on. I think enough. I think, Miguel, you should not come to a lab meeting and crying about how of your treatment. I think enough has been said on it. I think we should move on. We've been on Miguel. This has changed into a personal thing about Miguel for the past hour and a half. Okay, and we started the meeting on something else. The meeting started on the discrepancy on the tape about the diversity issue,
mm-hmm.
And I moved that we go back to that.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, I think this should we should lay Miguel. You should lay your thing to rest. It doesn't work.
All right, fine, I'm ready.
Yeah, some people want to hear me, some people don't want to hear me. But in either case,
I'm not going to leave the room,
man. There's some things I want to clear up. I didn't come here to speak for Miguel or against Miguel.
Latino, and I think that I am known for my activism in the Latino community and have been for many, many years. Okay, there are some serious problems with Pacifica. There are some serious problems with WBAI as it pertains to Latinos. There's no question about that. I think that the question is whether the way people deal with Miguel and the way that Miguel deals with people is based on those conflicts or not. Okay. And I don't think that the case is because Miguel is Latino. I have political differences with Miguel. Okay. And a person of any ethnic group that proposed certain political views, that I would differ regardless of what the I need to make some things, some quick clarification points about the Latino issue at WBAI in particular. Because before the coup, there were problems here with Latinos. And Utrecht Leeds was able to capitalize on the fact that there were problems here. And some people may like to face up to that, not face up to that. The fact is that as a result of that vacuum that existed, okay, and I'm going to give you some very concrete examples. When Sabor Latino reached its 10th anniversary, it was replaced, summarily replaced. I read a letter which was given to the two producers of Con Sabor Latino, and it alluded to technical inadequacies and lack of whatever. I know, though, that there was at no time any consultation, anything about why that program was reached. And I need to tell you that at that time, okay, Con Sabor Latino competed on Sunday afternoons in the summer with the Mega, which is the most listened to station of Latin music in the city of New York, which is the most listened to station in the city of any genre of music. Okay? If you look at the numbers, that's what it is. And Con Sabor Latino competed against that 50-50 down the road. Okay? And without any consultation, it was replaced. We have problems with that. We have problems with that because when they did that, okay, they also depoliticized that program. Okay, Alarcón was been on that program. Other political voices were heard in that program, as well as the music and the quality of music that was being aired in that. When the coup took place, I was approached by a number of comrades of mine about, we have to mobilize the Latino community. And I said, yes, I agree with that. I also said that there was a problem with that because my community at large feels not serviced by WBAI, feels stepchild by WBAI. And in fact, I did a tremendous effort to try to reach out to the people that at least that I knew. And there were people, even some of the best known activists in the city, people like Richard Perez, for example. He says, you know what? Yes, it is a serious problem, but you know what? In the scheme of things, right now, it's not a priority for us. We did what we could with what we had. When I was called, I made the statement, I will repeat it again. I said, you know what? Yes, we have to retake back WBAI, but I am not going to struggle to retake WBAI to bring it to back as business as usual. Got to be to go to everything that it can and it should be. Okay. Utrecht Leeds saw the vacuum and capitalized on that because it was clearly and it existed. That's where monsters like Santiago Nieves arose. By the way, and this is extremely important, I'll say this to anybody in front of anybody. When I asked what was the reason why Con Sabor Latino was taken off the air, I was told that it was because they were commercializing the station. And I was like totally shocked. I said, wait a minute, but
Let's talk about Gary Null before you start talking about commercializing. You know what? Because you can't have a stand-up for white folk and another stand-up for us. I will not accept that. And in fact, there was nothing in the letter by the reason they shut down that program that referred to anything about commercializing. Okay? But that was what I was told by Bernard White, and that's what I was told by Valerie, and I was told that in front of people at a meeting. Correct? Am I lying? I'm lying. Okay? But that was the reasoning by which that program was done away with. And that was just one guy. Then the other, as we began to discuss, those few people in the Latino activists that we got it, you were part of some of those discussions, Sister Lynn was part of some of those discussions, Miguel was part of some of those discussions, we talked about what does it mean to be a part of the life of WBAI. Okay, and you know, I think that we tend to think about inclusion in terms of hours that people get on the air. I don't think that that's true. Yes, we would like, we'd like some special programming once in a while, but it's not the crux of it. I'm going to give you a perfect example of what I find to be really disturbing. You have a news department, and if you put a mirror to the news department of WBAI and the news department of WABC, it would mirror tremendously in regards to the Latino presence of the news. Okay? Because in this town today, in the commercial news media, if you want to find out what's happening in the Latino community, you go to Channel 47, you go to Channel 41, El Diario, Hoy, okay? Because we're not present in the New York Times, the New York Post, the Daily News, ABC, CBS, or BAI. You see, we are upwards of a third of the potential listening audience of this station. And if you listen to the news, we don't exist. See, and when you talk about a progressive station, talk about a progressive station that has a mission inclusion of people like Latinos, like Asians, you know what? It has to go the extra mile to make sure that it, excuse me?
You have to conclude one point.
I have people here talking for a long time, so please don't shut me up, Miguel.
Okay.
I just want you to.
No, guy, I'm going to say what I got to say because I am a board member.
Okay.
At no time has WBAI made that effort. At no time, in spite of the fact that we have repeatedly said that, okay, you need to. You know what? If it means that you got to go buy every Spanish place, you got to sign up with EFE, the wire service, so that you can represent. What, that we exist in this town. We just don't exist when we burn, or when there's a riot, or when there's a major coke bust. That's not when we exist. And people here have not been willing to listen to that. We're talking about inclusion in the sense that, you know what, when there is an environmental program, you know what, we're environmentalists too. When there's a culture program, we also got culture, folks. You know, it's not that you have the Spanish show and then you have the white culture show and the white environmental show. That's not what a progressive, inclusive radio station is supposed to do. And we said this to people. We sent letters to Valerie. We sent letters to Bernard. Okay, inclusively Mr. Don Rojas. Who, you know, interestingly enough, let me just say this. Now that Mr. Don Rojas is at the helm of the station, Bernard White has had communications with one of the two people that they fired from Gustavo Latino about coming back. But if the guy is so corrupt, why do you want him back?